Today is Monday, February the 3rd, and you are listening to the World Socialist website. Trump launches global trade war, with Canada and Mexico as his first targets. By Keith Jones. United States President Donald Trump escalated a global trade war Saturday with executive orders imposing punitive tariffs on the country's three largest trading partners. Starting Tuesday, the US will impose a 25% tariff on all imports from Canada and Mexico. Goods from China, already subject to a vast array of tariffs imposed during the first Trump and Biden administrations, will face an additional 10% tariff. Trump has signaled that this is only the first step in a broader effort to reshape the global economy, geopolitics, and class relations in favor of American imperialism. Further trade war measures against the EU and other countries are set to be announced later this month. As it is, the measures announced Saturday will roil the North American and world economy. Canada and Mexico quickly announced retaliatory tariffs on a wide range of US goods, which under Trump's orders will automatically trigger further US tariffs. A war on the working class. Trump has lied non-stop about how tariffs work, claiming that they are paid by the foreign-based exporter and will be painless for American workers. None of this is true. Tariffs are paid by the importing company, faced with tariffs equal to 25% of the value of the commodity they are importing. US companies will pass this additional cost on to consumers in the form of price hikes or else cancel their orders. In either case, it will be disastrous for the workers of North America. Workers in Canada and Mexico will lose their jobs, while workers in the United States will see a massive surge in inflation. US workers will also face job cuts due to retaliatory tariffs. Canada is the single largest US export market, and the blowing up of continental production chains developed over more than three decades under the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, and its Trump-negotiated successor, the US-Mexico-Canada Trade Agreement, USMCA. The tariff hikes will ravage the economies of Canada and Mexico, which rely on the US for 77% and 80% of their exports, respectively. A veritable tsunami of mass layoffs and plant shutdowns will be the immediate result. The Premier of Ontario, where Canada's auto industry is centred, has warned of 500,000 job losses in that province alone. Auto production in North America is highly integrated, with vehicles assembled from parts that cross borders multiple times. Car manufacturers will not only face a 25% tariff on finished vehicles imported from Canada and Mexico, but also compounded tariffs on components, including those used in vehicles whose final assembly is within the US. The eruption of a North American trade war could consequently result not only in the almost immediate shutdown of most Canadian and Mexican auto assembly and parts plants, it will massively disrupt US auto production, likely resulting in tens of thousands of layoffs at US auto plants within days or weeks. Fearing a massive public backlash, Trump made a single exception to his 25% tariffs, capping the levy on imported Canadian energy, primarily crude oil, at 10%. Canadian oil accounts for over 20% of US consumption. Trade war, America first, and US imperialism's war for global hegemony. Trump's trade war is thus inseparable from the escalating war on the working class. It is also bound up with American imperialism's drive to secure global hegemony through world war. Mexico and Canada have been targeted as part of Trump's drive to assert unbridled dominance over the North American continent. His now realized tariff threats have been accompanied by vows to annex Greenland and the Panama Canal, if necessary, through military action, invade Mexico in the name of combating drug cartels, and use economic force to compel Canada to become America's 51st state. Trump's aim is to gird American imperialism for war with China and Russia and mounting conflicts with the European imperialist powers by consolidating its control over its near abroad. In this, his actions are modelled on Hitler's Anschluss, joining of Austria to the Third Reich in 1938. Trump is delivering an unmistakable message. The law of the jungle, in which might makes right, now prevails in global interstate relations. From an economic standpoint, Trump's global trade war and avowed America First protectionist aims are irrational. They underscore that the capitalist order and its nation-state system, having reached an historic blind alley, are rapidly descending into social reaction and barbarism. The United States, long the bulwark of global capitalism and still the most powerful imperialist state and centre of global capitalist finance, is reviving the cutthroat, beggar-thy-neighbour protectionist policies that helped trigger the Second World War. That said, there is a definite class logic to the madness. First, by wreaking havoc on the North American economy, Trump hopes to place corporate America in the best position to dramatically increase worker exploitation, while using the extreme dependence of Mexico and Canada on the US market to extort maximum concessions from its capitalist rivals. Second, insofar as Trump seeks to compel the reshoring of manufacturing to America, this is aimed at rebuilding Washington's military-industrial capacity. In his 1934 essay, Nationalism and Economic Life, Leon Trotsky warned that Hitler's claims he would build an autarkic national economy were, quote, both reactionary and utterly utopian. Like a hungry tiger, imperialism has withdrawn into its own national lair to gather itself for a new leap, unquote. The response of the Canadian ruling class. Although Trump's actions have a desperate character about them, they have staggered Canadian imperialism and the Mexican bourgeoisie. While 5 million Mexican jobs are reportedly directly dependent on US trade, Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum sought to downplay the tariff's impact and pleaded for discussion and dialogue with Trump. Mexico, she asserted, does not want a confrontation. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau spoke to the nation late Saturday. Even as he deplored Trump's actions, Trudeau was adamant that Canada is America's staunchest ally, and Washington would have its full support if only it will lash out at the common enemies of North America's imperialist powers. Addressing Washington, Trudeau declared, quote, "From the beaches of Normandy to the mountains of the Korean Peninsula, from the fields of Flanders to the streets of Kandahar, Afghanistan, we have fought and died alongside you during your darkest hours," unquote. Following Trump's election in November, Trudeau rushed down to Mar-a-Lago in a desperate attempt to appease the would-be dictator. Racked by mercenary internal conflicts, the Canadian bourgeoisie opposes Trump solely from the standpoint of securing for itself the most advantageous position within a US-led fortress North America. At the same time, like Trump, it will use the trade war to intensify the class war on the working class. Already, Trudeau has been forced to resign to pave the way for a new government, most likely led by the far-right conservative leader Pierre Poilievre, that will implement Trump-style policies, from massive military spending hikes and social spending cuts, to huge tax cuts for corporate Canada and the rich, and the removal of all regulatory restraints on capital. Workers of the World Unite. The biggest impediments to the development of a united counter-offensive of the North American working class in defense of the jobs, wages, and social and democratic rights of all workers are the reactionary nationalist trade union bureaucracies, along with their political advocates and attorneys in the organisations of the middle-class pseudo-left. They are whipping up nationalism so as to pit workers against each other and politically bind them to the very capitalists who exploit them and use them as cannon fodder. United Auto Workers President Sean Fain issued a statement Saturday declaring, Quote, the UAW supports aggressive tariff action to protect American manufacturing jobs as a good first step to undoing decades of anti-worker trade policy, unquote. Meanwhile, Jagmeet Singh, the head of the union-sponsored New Democratic Party in Canada, declared, quote, now is the time for Canadians to stand strong and stand together, unquote. Workers in the US, Canada, and Mexico must emphatically oppose all attempts to corral them behind their respective ruling classes and governments in the developing trade war. They should dismiss with contempt the rival phony claims of Trump and Trudeau that they are fighting for American and Canadian jobs and declare with one voice, this is not our war and we will not be made to pay for it. They must join forces in a united movement of the North American working class through the development of rank-and-file committees independent of the trade union apparatus as part of the International Workers' Alliance of Rank-and-File Committees. These committees will organise opposition to the demands of the ruling class for sacrifices in the form of mass job cuts, concessions, and the evisceration of public services and social programs. Opposition to trade war and its ruinous impacts on the working class must be infused with a socialist, internationalist program, key tenets of which are opposition to imperialist war and anti-immigrant chauvinism. As they build new rank-and-file organisations of genuine class struggle and fight to unite their struggles into a continent-wide mass movement for workers' power and a socialist North America, workers in the US, Canada, and Mexico must reach out to their class brothers and sisters in China, Europe, and beyond. More than ever, the watchword of the working class must be, workers of the world, unite. Arriving in US, Netanyahu pledges to redraw map of the Middle East. By Andre Damon. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu arrived Sunday in Washington, D.C., ahead of an extensive series of meetings with U.S. President Donald Trump this week, aimed at planning the ethnic cleansing of Gaza and an expansion of the U.S.-Israeli war of aggression throughout the Middle East. Netanyahu will be the first foreign leader welcomed to the White House by Trump. He will be staying at Washington's Blair House, the guest lodging of foreign dignitaries, for the 14th time, more than any other leader. There is currently a warrant for Netanyahu's arrest for war crimes and crimes against humanity, issued by the International Criminal Court, the ICC, which the United States does not recognise. Ahead of his departure for the US, Netanyahu issued a statement Sunday on X pledging to redraw the map of the Middle East, in a reference to his government's plan to create a Greater Israel, encompassing the entirety of the Palestinian territories and significant portions of adjoining states. In his statement, Netanyahu declared, quote, the decisions we made in the war have already changed the face of the Middle East. Our decisions and the courage of our soldiers have redrawn the map, but I believe that working closely with President Trump, we can redraw it even further, unquote. The actions that have redrawn the map of the Middle East have led to wartime casualties in Gaza that probably exceed 70,000, according to a study published in The Lancet last month, and may be as high as 186,000 or more, according to an earlier study. Israel has attacked nearly all of its neighbours, including Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, and Iran. The genocide launched by Israel in Gaza has, according to a UN report, killed far more women, children, and older people than men. The overwhelming death toll among women and children makes clear that Israel's aim is the massacre of the people of Gaza and the turning of the region into a wasteland in preparation for its ethnic cleansing. Now, enabled by the full support of the Trump administration, Netanyahu is pledging to unleash an even greater tidal wave of war throughout the region. On September the 22nd, 2023, just 2 weeks before the October 7th attacks. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu displayed a map at the United Nations General Assembly of the new Middle East, showing Israel encompassing all of the Palestinian territories as part of a geopolitical framework with the US-aligned Middle Eastern states of Egypt, Sudan, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia. When Netanyahu spoke again at the United Nations on September 27, 2024, near the one-year anniversary of the beginning of the genocide, he again referenced, quote, "the map I presented here last year," declaring, "with American support and leadership, I believe this vision can materialize much sooner than people think," unquote. Last month, Trump called for Israel to clean Gaza of its Arab inhabitants, openly calling for ethnic cleansing. Quote, "you're talking about probably 1.5 million people, and we just clean out that whole thing," unquote, Trump said. Trump's statement was a public embrace on the part of the American state of the actual policy of the Netanyahu government, which is the systematic extermination and removal of the Palestinian population from Gaza as part of the effort to annex all of the Palestinian territories. Last week, Trump's Mideast envoy, Steve Witkoff, met with Netanyahu to discuss, in the words of the Times of Israel, quote, "Trump's idea of sending Gaza's population to Jordan and Egypt," unquote. The newspaper reported that Witkoff and Israeli officials, quote, "discussed possible outlines for the transfer of Gaza's population, in line with the US president's repeated suggestion that millions of Gazans should relocate to Egypt and Jordan," unquote. Responding to Trump's calls for the ethnic cleansing of Gaza, far-right Israeli finance minister Bezalel Smotrich said in a statement, quote, "I am working with the prime minister and the cabinet to prepare an operational plan and ensure that this vision of President Trump is realized." Ahead of Netanyahu's trip to the US, Smotrich called for the annexation of the West Bank, declaring, "we must strengthen our grip and sovereignty over the homeland in Judea and Samaria, the West Bank," unquote. In a statement ahead of the departure for Washington, Netanyahu threatened further escalation against Iran, declaring, quote, "in this meeting, we'll deal with important issues, critical issues facing Israel and our region, victory over Hamas, achieving the release of all our hostages, and dealing with the Iranian terror axis in all its components," unquote. In December, the Wall Street Journal reported that the Trump transition team had discussed potential airstrikes against Iran's nuclear program. In remarks on foreign policy just days after assuming the presidency, Trump refused to rule out military strikes on Iran. His calls for the ethnic cleansing of Gaza reflect the actual position of the Netanyahu government. In a report on the discussions scheduled for this week, the Financial Times wrote, quote, "a person familiar with the Israeli government's thinking claimed Trump's comments did not come as a surprise. This isn't an idea that just came to Trump," the person said. "Israel was aware he was going to say it. They, the US and Israel, are aligned and coordinated," unquote. Despite a nominal ceasefire, Israel continues to carry out daily military operations throughout Palestine, including an ongoing attack on the city of Jenin that has seen the widespread destruction of civilian infrastructure. On Wednesday, Israeli troops carried out a strike at the Nusayrat camp in the central part of the Gaza Strip that wounded 4 people. Israel is continuing to consolidate its territorial annexations throughout the region. On Sunday, the Washington Post reported that Israel is building military outposts in territory it seized in Syria's Golan Heights, which it captured 2 months ago following the collapse of the Assad government in Syria. Thousands of workers and students protest Trump's mass deportation operation. By Kimmy Saito, Liz Cabrera, and Jacob Cross. Over the last 72 hours, large protests against Trump's attacks on immigrants and escalating deportation operation have erupted across the United States. Workers and students, immigrant and US-born alike, have participated in the protests and spoken out powerfully in defense of the democratic rights of everyone, regardless of where they were born. While protests against Trump and his scapegoating of immigrants have been a near daily occurrence since his inauguration on January 20th, this weekend saw a massive increase in the number of demonstrations and people participating in them. No doubt this was in part fueled by the Trump administration's ongoing and violent deportations, which are not just targeting alleged criminals, but workers and family members who have been living in the United States without a criminal record for years. Since January 31st, protests involving anywhere from a few dozen to thousands of people have been held in major cities throughout the country, including San Diego, Sacramento, San Francisco, Riverside and Los Angeles, California, Washington, D.C., New York City, Boston, Philadelphia and Chicago, Houston, Austin and Dallas in Texas, Des Moines, Iowa, Phoenix, Arizona, Charlotte, North Carolina, Miami in Florida, Denver in Colorado, Seattle in Washington, and Portland in Oregon. In North Little Rock, Arkansas, Friday night, dozens of protesters, including many students, rallied in support of immigrants. Demonstrators held signs that read, "No human is illegal, immigrants make America great, and fight ignorance, not immigrants." Protest organizer Angela Baltazar told a local ABC station that she organized the rally to oppose Immigration and Customs Enforcement ICE raids on families. Quote, "I got split from my parents from the age of 3 to the age of 9, Baltazar recalled. "I wouldn't want any child to experience that ever." Unquote. On Saturday, a similar protest was held in front of the state capitol in Little Rock. In Dallas, Texas, for the third day in a row, hundreds of people, including immigrants and their children, protested against the Trump administration's anti-immigrant policies. On Friday, demonstrators rallied outside an ICE office, while on Sunday, hundreds marched downtown for several hours. In Chamblee, Georgia, hundreds of people, many of Hispanic descent, protested in support of immigrants on Saturday, temporarily blocking Buford Highway. The protest started at noon and lasted well into the early evening. Many children were seen holding signs that read, "End family deportations." Joseph Pastor, an organizer of the protest, told Fox 5, quote, "We are basically being hunted down by ICE." He added, "We live in fear. We are here because we don't want everyone to live in fear, so we are going to speak out," unquote. As the protests grew throughout the day, riot police were deployed to harass and intimidate demonstrators, eventually arresting 4 people. Crystal Alvarado told Fox 5 that her friend was the one of those arrested. She told the news outlet, quote, "That protest was perfectly fine until they started to kick us out. That's when people started throwing drinks at the cops," unquote. Notably, virtually none of the protests have been led or organized by Democratic Party politicians or trade union officials. Far from opposing Trump's dictatorial plans to deport millions of people, the Democrats and nationalist trade unions have co-signed Trump's attacks on immigrants. The first bill passed by the 119th Congress with Democratic Party support was the fascistic Laken and Riley Act, which greatly expands the power of police to detain and deport undocumented persons simply accused of committing a crime. In response, not a single major trade union, from the American Federation of Teachers to the Teamsters, has called on its members to strike in defense of democratic rights. Instead, workers and students are organizing protests independently, particularly on social media. The largest of this weekend's protests was held in Los Angeles on Sunday. At its height, thousands of people participated in the march, which began at Olvera Street, Cal Olvera, before proceeding to City Hall and eventually US Highway 101. For several hours on Sunday, protesters faced off with hundreds of riot police from the California Highway Patrol while blocking the road. Protesters waved Mexican and American flags and denounced the Trump administration and Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE. Demonstrators held signs that read, "No one is illegal on stolen land," and "Don't bite the hand that feeds." Reporters for the World Socialist website spoke to several people at the Los Angeles protest. A middle school student told the WSWS, quote, "We are here to fight for the rights of our people, of our family. We have family and friends that are undocumented, who aren't criminals. They are here to work. They are here to live their lives like everybody else," unquote. Another student told the WSWS that their teachers were supportive of the protests and showed off her sign, which read, quote, "School is for education, not deportation," unquote. A Los Angeles-based teacher at the rally told the WSWS that educators have posters in the classroom that read, "All immigrants welcome," or "This classroom is a safe space for immigrants." However, as far as she knew, the teachers' union, United Teachers Los Angeles, the UTLA, was not organizing strike in defense of immigrants. Instead, she described how each school is doing its own individual and inadequate actions. She said some are passing out the red cards about your immigration rights if ICE comes to you. When the WSWS reporter pointed out that this was not enough and that the entire working class must be mobilized to protect immigrants, the teacher responded, "Yes." Another teacher at the Los Angeles rally told the WSWS, quote, "I'm here to support my students and their rights and everyone's rights to be here in this country." She said that Trump administration should be removed. She said, "I don't think it's right to have a criminal as president and for him to be calling us criminals, enabling hatred," unquote. A worker at the rally concurred, quote, "I agree. Personally, I work with a lot of Hispanics from El Salvador, Mexico, Honduras, Guatemala, from all places, and they are all working class. They produce the wealth. They are the backbone of America," unquote. For these articles and more today, visit the World Socialist website, wsws.org. This has been John Davis.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.